The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following is a conversation between Charles Daniels, Chief Executive Officer of Fathers Uplift, and Denver Frederick, host of The Business of Giving, on AM 970 The Answer in New York City.
There is a growing belief that the best person to solve a social problem is someone who has experienced that very problem themselves. That would be the case for my next guest. His father was absent for a big part of his life, and the impact that it had on him was very real and very painful. And it ultimately inspired him to start an organization that would assist fathers in overcoming barriers so they could stay engaged in their children's lives. He is Charles Daniels, the CEO of Fathers Uplift. Good evening, Charles, and welcome to The Business of Giving.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Tell us of the mission, Charles, of Fathers Uplift.
Yep. So Fathers Uplift is the country's first outpatient mental health facility for fathers and families, where we assist dads with overcoming barriers that can prevent them from being engaged in their children's lives.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned in the opening that this is something that you have experienced firsthand. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it and the impact that it had on you of having your father absent from your life.
Absolutely. So I grew up in a household primarily headed by my mother in Atlanta, Georgia. And what I realized, I would question her, where is my father? My father was in my life up until the age of 10 years old. Mm-hmm. Then after that, he was gone. As I grew older, I found myself engaging in substances, using substances, also behavioral issues, acting out, fighting, things of that nature. And I realized that much of that was because my father wasn't in my life. And I realized that when I almost killed myself.
Yeah.
I remember jumping out or thinking about jumping out of that window because my dad wasn't there. But when I got older, I realized why he wasn't there. And to make a long story short, my father wasn't in my life because I was a result of a marital affair. My mother was the outside woman. My father had been married to his wife for 30 years, mm-hmm. and I'm sure he didn't know how to engage that or even overcome that issue.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little bit about my story.
Right, right. Yeah, and it was pretty tough for you. I know you played sports in college, and you almost were jealous of all the other fathers who were in the stands cheering their boy along, but your dad wasn't there.
He wasn't.
Mm-hmm. So, Charles, how many children in the U.S. are growing up in fatherless households? And what are some of the negative consequences of that?
Yep. So according to recent data, it's estimated about 20 million nationwide kids who are growing up in households without their fathers. What research tells us is that kids who are growing up in households without their fathers, poverty rates increase, as well as behavioral issues, substance use issues, incarceration rates increase, as well as early pregnancy, right? So everything that you can think of, any social problem today, could always be tied back to a father. Our research has revealed that, and we see it happening every single day at our agency. Dads who want to be engaged, kids who are growing up in households without their fathers, who are suffering in school, who are using substances, who are engaged in gang violence, and their mothers bringing their kids to us because they don't know what to do with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So research says it. We see it physically in our agency at our facility in Dorchester. I mean, when you don't have a father or when a father's not involved in your life positively, right, it results in some negative circumstances. So it's real, and we just need to acknowledge it. Yeah.
And it's incredibly significant. I mean, I think the research says that 85% of behavioral problems mm-hmm. come from kids who live in a household without a father. And you talk about the risk of poverty. It's four times as great. These are big, big-time numbers.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, on the other hand, fatherhood has been pretty hot these days. And recent research shows the incalculable benefits that dads can bestow. Share with us some of the positive research of having a father in one's life.
So we know educational improvements like reading and things of that nature. Children benefit dramatically when dads are engaged in their kids' lives. We also see the IQ levels increasing. We also see kids are performing better in school. They are moving on, having effective and beneficial lives when mm-hmm. they have a father involved in their kids' lives. So educationally, emotionally, there is a positive benefit to having a father around. And we see that happening as well. I mean, there are things that automatically stop when a dad is involved in his kids' lives. Things such as acting out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, of course, you're going to act out when you're growing up. But to a certain extent where you feel as if you have to find love in unhealthy places, join gangs, engage in unhealthy mechanisms, right? When the dad is there, I think kids feel, well, I know for certain that kids feel validated, they feel important, especially if he's involved in a positive way.
Yeah.
So you see the negative sides, but you also see there's some positive benefits to having a dad.
Mm-hmm. Charles, would it be fair to say that there has been a devaluation of males as parents?
Absolutely.
By daycare centers, by schools, even for that matter, by the court system?
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting, in some states, if you don't sign the birth, if you're a father, you don't sign the birth certificate, you have no rights to that child. I mean, automatically, you know, the mother has a right to the kid. Mm-hmm. Unless you sign the birth certificate. And in some states, even if you sign the birth certificate, mom, when she has a child, can automatically leave the state. And how you feel about that doesn't necessarily matter, right? If your dad and mom leaves the state, you can't just call the police and say, hey, my child is missing, right? We've had a few fathers do that before, and the detective say, well, you have no right to that child. So, I mean, in terms of thinking about does a dad has a right to his child, if you and the mother are now on the same page, mom can do whatever she wants to do. And I think legally speaking, that's the truth. We also know that in daycare schools across the nation, there's this tendency to go to mom when it comes to the child, asking about the questions, the health of the child, whatever the case may be. Dads are not necessarily looked upon as the ones who actually know about the child. I think we're starting to see a small shift right now, but culturally, everything automatically goes to the mom. Rights, knowledge, know-hows, everyone pulls on mom, and we see that happening in our community and communities nationwide. I mean, that's culturally how it's been in the past few years.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to your program, let's talk about some of the challenges that dads have in staying engaged in their child's life. How big a problem would abuse be, whether it be drug abuse or alcohol abuse?
Mm. I'm so happy you asked that question, man. There are so many barriers. I mean, substance use is definitely one of those. And oftentimes, substance use is always connected to another factor, another barrier. So substance use and housing issues, right? That's a popular combination in our city, right? If you're addicted to some form of drug or alcohol and you're homeless at the same time, you won't be in your kids' lives. But I think there's a misconception that if you're not there, that we make sure that we dismantle. If you're not there, you don't care about the kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's false. That's the furthest thing away from the truth. Me and the dads who are not engaged in their kids' lives, who enter our agency, still want to be in their kids' lives. They just don't know how. There's also a lot of shame and guilt. So you think about substance use, drug use, alcohol use, cannabis, whatever substances. If they're overbearing, they will interfere with that father's ability to be in his kids' lives. Housing issues, child support related issues, arrearages. Yeah. There's an expectation for a father to be able to take care of his kid when he can't take care of himself. You know, if you owe arrearages, your checks are garnished, right? How much can you do for a child financially? I mean, there's a lot that you can do for a child emotionally, but if you are separated from your kid, you're emotionally in shambles. So, I mean, those are some of the barriers. And emotional issues, shame, guilt. There's a lot of guilt. Dad's experienced a lot of guilt. For example, if a dad hasn't been in his kid's life for a few years, he doesn't know how to pick up the phone again because he feels as if he's going to be shamed.
Sure.
He's going to be looked down upon.
Yeah.
So we help them navigate those issues. Mm-hmm. So emotional barriers, financial barriers is real big, housing barriers, relational barriers. There's this new topic that research is revealing called maternal gatekeeping, right? So say if dads have been incarcerated, going in and out of jail, and they want to come out of jail and just be in their kids' lives, the mom protects the child because she doesn't want the father to take advantage of him anymore. And they call that, research shows that they call it maternal gatekeeping, where mom is protecting the child from the father potentially hurting that child again. So those are a whole bunch of issues that contribute to a father not being there. Right?
Yeah, and just listening to you, Charles, too, I also think about worthiness.
Because absolutely.
We have this concept, this stereotype in our society of what a male or what a good father should be, which is strong, a provider, a protector. He's got a job. Mm-hmm. He has money. He can provide materialistic things. And if you can't live up to that, you feel inadequate somehow and just stay away. Would that be the case?
Absolutely. It's always the case. There's an image of what a dad should be that society tells you.
Yeah.
If you don't have a father in your life, you create one. You're mainly leaning on the one that society tells you or the one in your community that you've been exposed to. I tell people all the time, man, sometimes the streets do a better job than raising our kids than us. And what does that mean? I think the streets are more aggressive. I think the streets are more empathetic, right? I think the streets are more non-judgmental. I think much of our services as agencies there are trying to reengage fathers or try to keep kids positively involved in other constructive activities. We have to take a page out of the books of the streets, right? We got to be empathetic. We can't judge them. We got to love them back to life. We have to be aggressive. And I'm not saying what the streets is doing is correct. However, the streets does know how to play on people's vulnerability and use it for their benefit. And we have to make sure that we can help them capture that vulnerability and do something great with it. And in my case, use your vulnerability to be a better father to your children. Use your vulnerability to say, hey, I'm not defined by it. I can be a better father to my child. I create my definition, which is what we do a lot, Denver. We help dads reconstruct the definition that's projected onto them. Mm-hmm. But you got to be a provider. You got to have a nice car. You have to have a nice house. And we give them the tools to create their own definition, right? There's many free activities. There's many activities where you can spend time with your kids in a free, non-conventional setting. And your kid would appreciate you for that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all about breaking down the stereotypical nature of what a dad should be and creating a new one.
Is there a challenge of being a good father when you haven't grown up in a household which had a father?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, even me in my personal situation, I mean, there isn't a manual how to be a father, right?
Right? Until you write it.
Absolutely. But given the creative nature of who I am in my being, I just create what that father should be. And I pass along that imagination for me and the dads who say, Charles, where do I look? How do I become a dad when I don't have a job? How become a dad when I don't have this, this, and that? Well, you are what you say you are. What type of dad you want to be until you get stabilized? And that's what we mainly focus on more so than worrying about what you're not. What do you want to be?
Yeah.
And how can you be close to that?
Mm-hmm. How do people find Father's Uplift?
You know, man, it's interesting. I want to be honest with you. Last couple of months, we've expanded our services to include children who are growing up in households without their fathers to provide counseling services, support for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being is because we've received a lot of referrals from single mothers in our community who brought their kids to us to say, hey, I don't know what to do with my kid. He's acting out. His father's not in his life, right? So a lot of word of mouth, a lot of single mothers, a lot of grandmothers. Grandmothers send dads to us. They send their sons to us. They send their nephews to us. Hey, I'm going to make him come. And we do know that women are, well, in the African-American community, women have been the backbone of our community, right? And I've grown up in a single-parent household. I kind of saw the brunt that many of our mothers take on when, in fact, the father is absent for a variety of reasons. So they play a huge role in our referral source. We get a lot of referrals from them, word of mouth, community clinics, state agencies such as Department of Children and Families, Department of Youth Services, hospitals, and as well as some churches, you know, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, from the mom, from the grandmother, from the aunt, to word of mouth, to churches and community clinics, we get them all.
It's a grapevine.
Absolutely. On average, we receive 40 new fathers and families a month.
Mm-hmm. Well, sticking with the fathers, tell us about the program. What is the experience of the men who become part of it?
Oh, man. You know, I think it's a great experience. One thing that we say, you know, I don't know if you probably heard this story before, but what was integral to my growth was a church community that made a vow that they would stand for me. It helped my mother raise me for the remainder of my life. And still this day, that church community has been my village, my pillar of hope. So Father's Uplift is based on that village concept. We're creating a village for many of the fathers who want to be engaged in their kids' lives but are not there in our community. And how we do that is that currently we are an outpatient mental health facility for fathers and their families. But we're an unconventional outpatient mental health facility.
How so?
Right? We have group therapy. We have individual therapy, family therapy. And I know other agencies have that, but we have it in an innovative way. And what does that mean? Our therapeutic services can happen anywhere in the community, first and foremost. We know that many of the men that we serve or many of the families that we serve may not want to come to our office, right? Mm. So we're willing to meet them where they are, first and foremost.
Without walls.
Absolutely. And sometimes, too, people say, well, you know, the community doesn't necessarily like mental health services, but for us, it's all about framing.
Mm-hmm.
We center our model around the concept of wellness. And we do know that men may not like the word mental health therapy, but a lot of them understand the word wellness.
Mm.
And sometimes we have to say, hey, let's come get your wellness check in.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have a broken leg, you won't leave it broken. You're going to get a casket, right? So come get your wellness so we can see how we can support you. And another thing is, too, man, I think there's one service that we really pride ourselves on. It's called the Father's Homecoming Project, where we enter the jails 3 months prior to a father's release to put together a mental health plan to help him leave the jail and engage in his kids' lives. So we're the first person that a father sees when he's been released from jail. Our partner site right now is Suffolk County House of Corrections, and we call it Therapeutic Transports. When they get ready to leave, we're there. They already know where they're going, and we transport them from jail to home.
That's great.
Right? We also provide father coaching services. And what we look is that we're not coaching you how to be a parent, right? I think, see, Father's Uplift isn't a parenting program, and I tell people that all the time. We focus on self-parenting. Mm-hmm. My philosophy is I teach a man how to parent himself, he will more likely be able to parent a child.
You got to take care of yourself before you're going to take care of anybody else. No question about it.
So coaching services, we're providing them with getting jobs. We're supporting them in getting jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also helping them navigate any issues that they may be experiencing in the community from the ground up. And we don't just send them out and say, hey, go over there and apply for that job. We go with you.
Yeah.
I think that's one fundamental difference that we do. We go with our dads. We make time to go.
Mm-hmm.
Currently speaking, we're having a job fair for our community right now, a Corey-friendly job fair for our community, where we're guaranteeing jobs for our dads and their families. I mean, this is the type of stuff that makes you innovative. You got to think outside of the box. And for our youth, right, and I think this is very important for our youth who are growing up in households without their fathers, we have a year-long program where our youth engage in weekly groups about how do you manage your emotions and use them in a constructive way.
Mm-hmm.
A part of that is entrepreneurship. A part of that is clinical counseling. And another part of that is art. Our kids are going to be going to the J. Cole concert next Tuesday to analyze his lyrics and really think about what that looks like. And they're going with a group of fathers.
Mm-hmm.
So how amazing is that? You know, these are just a holistic services that we do. But we love what we do. And I also believe that there shouldn't be a cutoff time frame. So whatever the insurance companies don't pay for, we have grant funds to support.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we don't have a cutoff. We mm-hmm. continue to engage our fathers and their families whenever they need us. And we will always be that village for them. We can't just say, hey, 3 months is over. No, we're like, whenever you need us. And they use us in times of crisis, which is good. Some dads get through the program and then they say, hey, I'm in crisis. Like, we're here. Come on by.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a back and forth type situation. So it's a little bit about what we do.
Well, holistic, as you said. And it's so difficult sometimes when they set these guidelines for a program as if everybody in that program is going to be the same.
Yeah.
And they need 90 days or 120 or whatever. It's going to be different for everybody. Talk a little bit about HASNA.
Oh, man. You know, so in our community, we've seen that alcohol and cannabis are substances that many of our youth lean towards when they do not have positive outlets, right? So HASNA is our youth recovery center where we have constructive events throughout the week and throughout the weekend, throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So say if a kid is feeling a little depressed or anxious, he always could stop by and say, hey, and get some support. He doesn't necessarily have to wait till the day is over. He always has us 24 hours a day. Now, the center stays open from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., but our phone call is always open 24 hours. So there's always a list of continuum of constructive events for our youth and our fathers to engage in whenever they are in need. And many of that is geared towards, okay, if you feel like using drugs or substances, what can you do as an alternative, right? Come in and we can support you really thinking about other ways to use what you're feeling and to not numb it, but to do something good with it. We have art activities. We have access to computers. We also have constructive events, games.
Cool.
A lot of our kids love the new Nintendos. I'm not really into the game consoles, but we have a few of that. Few
yeah,
of those
the four-year-old, you will be.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's a little bit about HASNA. And we do have pre-father care. I'm not sure if we're going to touch on that, but pre-father care is our intervention that we give to our kids and to our fathers. My philosophy is that we should teach fathers, we should treat fatherhood the same way that we treat sex education.
Mm-hmm.
We should have to wait till men become fathers to begin teaching them what fathering looks like,
mm-hmm.
right? So pre-father care gives men and kids the tools they need to really explore what fathering is from an inside-out perspective.
Yeah, it's right? prenatal care for fathers
prenatal
is what
care
it is.
For fathers,
yeah.
That's it.
And you're writing a book, right?
Yeah,
give us
a
couple of the concrete tools in that book that will help new fathers.
Absolutely. So some of the concrete tools is mainly, everything is mainly geared towards emotion management, right? How do you deal with shame? How do you deal with guilt? How do you deal with embarrassment? For the dads who enter our agency who have had these different emotions, sadness, anger, regret, not knowing how to forgive themselves, that have been the root of them actually engaging in negative coping mechanisms, right? So our goal is to give dads this book of tools and to walk them through that process through a buddy system where we partner them with our clinicians, with our coaches, but also with someone in the group to help them develop constructive ways to manage these emotions. And as a therapist, we teach them how to do that. You know, I teach them how to do that. I lead these groups. So I'm putting all my skills that I think I have, into a book for our fathers and for their families. You can do this in a group setting or you can do this in an individual setting. But I do believe it's going to be a joy to the world once it's released.
You know, and as a therapist, one thing I know that you've learned is we kind of jump to these conclusions and have these assumptions as to why a father is not engaged in their children's lives. And so often that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've experienced that firsthand in terms of dealing with some of the people that you've dealt with and realizing there's a story behind the story that one would never suspect.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, for example, families who are on who receive governmental assistance. One problem that we are seeing in the state of Massachusetts is that we have early education learning centers that are trying to engage dads, but the moms are not necessarily telling where the dads are, mm-hmm. because you know if there's a two-parent income, right, or if the dad is involved, they can't receive the benefits to put their child in the early education learning center. So I have practitioners who are coming to me and say, hey, Charles, how do we get these mothers to tell us where these dads are? Well, if you're going to take away their voucher, if they were to disclose to you where the dad is, right, then that's not going to be a good thing for them. So the story behind the story is if we need the benefits, I'm going to make sure that I protect the father, don't let you know where he is, so we can get the benefits. And I think politically and systemically, sometimes the system is set up for the dad to be absent for the gaining of resources, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's another story behind a story that we don't necessarily think about. And I've heard people say, well, the dad isn't there. How can we get him engaged? No, dad isn't there on paper because they need the resources, right? What do we need to think about constructively to create systems where dads can be present and they also can receive the resources with the mom and you're not separating the families, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example of the story behind the story, but we're always about creating new narratives for practitioners to really think about, right,
mm-hmm.
and to be honest with.
Tell us about the workplace culture, the corporate culture of Father's Uplift, and what do you think makes it special for the people who work there?
All of our staff look forward to coming to work. We can't kick them out the office. We have to be very strict about when they leave and when they come in because they love being there.
Mm.
I think what makes our culture great is that we have a non-judgmental atmosphere and we allow people to be themselves, right? We have a open culture where people can actually address challenges with fellow colleagues in a constructive way. We have a system of how do you address each other in a constructive manner. We have a culture of accountability. People can hold me accountable, and I don't think that's a problem. Tell me how you feel about my leadership. Tell me how you feel about me. Just don't curse me out, but tell me how you feel about me, and I embrace that. Every Friday, we have a family check-in. We always have a staff meeting, but we always have a love moment, and we have a rose and a thorn.
Mm-hmm.
And a rose is something good about your day. A thorn is something bad that you're going through. And love moment, just an opportunity for us to pour love into one another and let each other know how much we appreciate them. So that's the type of culture we have, I believe, that makes our work environment positive, a culture of accountability where the leader can be held accountable by the employees,
mm-hmm.
A culture of love where you will know that what I appreciate about you every week, and an honest and open culture for people just to be themselves and to innovate. We also allow our staff to innovate new programs and really think about what do they want to contribute and give the Father's Uplift. So we have boundaries, but for the most part, we give people the freedom to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes us different and unique.
Mm-hmm. So where does Father's Uplift go from here? I know you have plans to grow the program.
I mean,
have you thought about replicating it or taking it to other parts of Massachusetts or even other states?
That's a good question. My ultimate goal is for Father's Uplift to continue to be around when I am no longer here. And also, I want to make sure that we can have a father figure or re-engage a father in each one of those 20 million households,
mm-hmm.
in the nationwide, right? If Father's Uplift is close to doing that or has done that completely, I think Father's Uplift has done its job. So we're looking at ways to replicate virtually, right? How can parents and caregivers have access to the services of Father's Uplift with the touch of an app, right? What would that look like?
Yeah.
So we're currently partnering with a software engineer to really explore opportunities for us to engage populations that are outside the state with receiving some of the services that Father's Uplift has to offer. We believe that there's a father who wants to be engaged in his community, which is what our coaches do in every state. We also believe that there's a prison with fathers in the community,
mm-hmm.
in every state, with fathers in their jail in every state. And we have fathers in the community who we can connect with those jails in every state, right? The goal is how can we connect it? And we're looking at also a book where I put everything that we've done with Father's Uplift into a book, publish it, and just begin distributing it to people who feel interested in being a part of our movement. We also have something called the Male Engagement Institute that we're going to begin, where people can come to Father's Uplift and study under Father's Uplift for
cool.
2 years,
mm-hmm.
and then understand our model and then take it somewhere where the model isn't being delivered. So those are a few ways that we're thinking about replicating through our book, through our Male Engagement Institute, as well as through an app that we're exploring.
Get that book done.
Yeah.
Let me close with this, Charles.
Yeah.
If you were king for a day and could do anything in American society at large to change our perception of fathers and of their value and the importance that they play in the family, what would that be?
I would get rid of the child support system. I would appoint a board of fathers who are doing great work in each state to oversee the support of families in that state. And I would think strategically about developing, allow them to create programs of how they can engage fathers who are not contributing to their households, right, in a constructive way,
mm-hmm.
in a way that's not demeaning, but a one that's innovative, that partners with the dad and gives them the tools they need to provide for themselves and also give back to their households. That's what I would do. I would dismantle the child support system and appoint those fathers to take over and develop something new.
Be a big day for you. Well, yeah. Charles Daniels, the Chief Executive Officer of Fathers Uplift, thank you so much for being here and informing us on this really often overlooked issue. So those who want to learn even more, tell us about your website and what do you have there for visitors?
Absolutely. So if you want to learn more, go to www.fathersuplift.org. You also can follow us on Fathers Uplift on Instagram as well as Twitter. And you can follow me at Charles Clayton Daniels Jr. And there you will just see some hints on how to engage fathers. Also, upcoming workshops that I will be facilitating to give people the tools they need to engage fathers more effectively. And just posts and blogs about what it is that we're currently doing if you're interested in either thinking about replicating what we do or learning how to do what we do. We are open books. We're just trying to figure out how can we get it out to the public. But, yeah, visit us anytime, and we will have some interesting information for you.
You certainly will. And they can always contribute, too, right?
Absolutely. Feel free to give us a donation if you choose.
Well, thanks, Charles. It was a real pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'll be back with more of The Business of Giving right after this.
The Business of Giving can be heard every Sunday evening between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern on AM 970 The Answer in New York and on iHeartRadio. You can follow us at Biz of Give on Twitter and at Facebook.com/Business of Giving.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.